Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown Tennessee.
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
That's right. You are now rocking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. Load of show coming to you. Why? Because we are down in Mobile, Alabama at the Reese's Senior Bowl. One of my favorite events. You know that. We had Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Senior Bowl, on the show last week. We previewed it and looked at some of the guys. So definitely going to unload the notebook there for you. You'll be able to get some of the takes and things from what I've seen down here at the Senior Bowl. We're going to have some interviews, too. We'll wrap the show up with three interviews. We got Adisa Isaac, the Penn State edge defender. He's a guy that stood out to me. We got a bunch of guys, man. We got Jordan Morgan, the Arizona tackle. He's a guy that could be there for the Titans at the top of the second if they decide to go with one of the top receivers. So we'll get into some stuff with Jordan Morgan as well. And then there's another guy. Wasn't really on my radar coming into this week. Didn't really know much about him. I didn't watch much from the guys there at Louisville. But I tell you, being down here, and especially on Wednesday, a guy by the name of Jarvis Brownlee Jr., Louisville corner, he stood out to me. An awesome day. So had to grab him and chop it up with him a little bit after practice just to, you know, pick his mind and see what went into him having that outstanding day. So we'll have that for you as well. We got Run TMC. You know what we do. So definitely make sure you stay tuned in to this whole show. And we're going to kick it off with the notebook that I have and just some of the notes off the top of my head. I mean, just looking at this group, and we'll start with the national group because the way that the practices are structured, it's the national group from 9:30 to 11:30. And then at 12 to 2, you got the American roster, which is coached. They're coached by Terrell Williams, the Titans assistant head coach and D-line coach. And I tell you what, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Sam Hartman, it's been a little bit tough sledding for them, but Penix, he probably had the best. He's thrown the ball the best out of those three quarterbacks to no surprise, and that deep ball passing is really good. I tell you, on Wednesday, they gathered everybody up, and they did like a call-out section, and there's a guy from Toledo here by the name of Quinion Mitchell, and he – David, I'll tell you, he's been so sticky in coverage. You watch the way that he's able to come out of his pedal and break on the football. Those quick curls and hitches and types of things. He had multiple pass breaks on those in team period. He ran with, it was Brandon Rice. So check this out, David. Jerry Rice's son is here.
That's insane.
Jerry Rice's son. Yep, the USC receiver, Brandon Rice. He's a pretty big joker, too, man. He came in at 6'2", 212. Interesting how the different takes will come out of the Senior Bowl, you know, the practices and stuff. You have some who say he's been excellent. I'll tell you this. You know, I watched him, and he's made some catches, and he's big. But for me, you know, when I watch receivers, I always look, first and foremost, you know, how are your releases? How do you get out of and into your breaks? And that's something where it's a little bit of a struggle, and he kind of raises up, and he's a little slow out the breaks. But nevertheless, he ran a deep route. Keon Mitchell went up and got it. He picked it off, and he ran back. But I set up Keon Mitchell and talk about him to go back to what I opened up with, and that was the call-out section. That's one of the things I love that this national group is doing. At the end of the practice, they give guys a chance to call somebody out. Come get some of this. And that's exactly what he did. So, David, check this out, man. I was standing next to Roman Wilson in the circle there. I was standing next to him, and they said, Keon Mitchell. And he stepped in, and he said, all right, who's your call-up? Without hesitation, he said, Roman Wilson. Roman looked at me. He tapped my shoulder. He was like, watch this. I was like, oh, shoot. He must know that he's one of my favorite receivers in this draft. I don't know. He just out of randomly, I happened to be there, and he said, watch this. He lined up. Nice release. It's on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen. You can check it out. But a nice release. Probably didn't need to have the move at the line because Mitchell was playing off, but he released, gave a move inside and went outside, went up the seam, gave a move at the top and a little wiggle there and ran an outbreaking route, panics through the football, and it was a little behind him, but Wilson caught that thing with one hand. He got one cheek in, and one cheek equals 2 feet, so it was in bounds, man. It was a pretty dope play, and I say that to also just bring some light on Wilson, man. On Tuesday, he was one of the best receivers that was on the field for the national team in the vertical aspect. Then he knows how to run those vertical routes, chop it down and work back to the quarterback as well. So I was really excited to see him play. So that's something. And we'll just kind of go through position by position. You know, you look at the running backs. There's a Troy running back, Kamani Vital, who stood out as well. Rasheen Ali from Marshall. He was someone else that I thought was pretty impressive. I didn't watch the running backs as much like in one-on-ones and those things, but they definitely, some guys stood out. Now, you look at the receivers. I don't know what's in the McCaffreys, what's in their blood, but there's another one that's coming out, and he's 6'1", 202. His name is Luke McCaffrey, and he's a slot guy, man. He's explosive. Like, he runs really good routes, and he made some vertical ones. So I thought he was impressive. Ricky Pearsall, man, you talk about varying your speeds and tempo on your routes. Keenan Allen style, that's what he brings to the table. And he's someone, you know, he's going to go in there. He's 6 feet, 193. He's going to go in and be an outstanding slot receiver for somebody. So those are two guys that stood out. There's a guy right down the street at Western Kentucky, Malachi Corey. He didn't stand out as much, but he was someone that, you know, I wanted to see at 5'10", 215. He got that running back build. But let me say this, David. Javon Baker from Central Florida, you talk about a route technician. He was really, really fun to watch. You know, just seeing him able to work the, you know, stem his routes and just the way that he's able to run them, very impressive there. You look at the tight ends. Didn't really have any that stood out to me at the tight end position, but we all know that there's a position that the Titans need to address, and that's the offensive line. And I think, you know, we look at them. Jordan Morgan is a guy that coming into this, I wanted to see how he was going to look. I talked to him a bit about playing guard versus tackle. You want the answer? You'll get that a little later in the interview. Mm-hmm. But I was the first day was a little rough for him, but he bounced back in day two. I'm still curious where he's going to play. One guy, Roger Rosengarten. Now we're talking about 6'5", 311. He's more or less a right tackle, and he has some pretty good reps. I definitely enjoy watching him. Talese Fuaga, that's the one that I really wanted to watch in this group of national linemen. And Fuaga, he's one of those guys. Like, if he gets his hands on you, he's going to dunk you. Like, he's all power. He and Adisa Isaac, they had some battles, and we got Isaac coming on later, so you hear that. But they had some battles, and he's someone that, you know, they're talking about guard. He's a tackle. I talked to Jordan Reed, the ESPN draft analyst, and, you know, he said, this is what I would do. I would put him at tackle and let him fail at tackle, and if he fails at tackle, you put him to guard. And he went on to say that that's the suggestion that he would have made for Peter Skoronski, which I thought was interesting there. Trying to think as you look at the other Jackson Powers Johnson. Hey, man, him and Michael Hall from Ohio State, those guys were battling. And I think, you know, you look at him, he gives you that flexibility where he could play guard or center for you out of Oregon. And they have battles, man. JPJ is what they call him. So those were a couple guys that stood out. I wanted to see the West Virginia center, Zach Frazier, but he did not take part in any physical, ultra physical reps like pass pro one-on-ones, et cetera. So it was unfortunate not to be able to see him. I mentioned Michael Hall, right? You look at him. I mean, he's so sudden off the ball. You know what I mean? Real quick as a D tackle. He's not huge. You know, he's under 300 pounds. So I don't know. Well, we still don't know what the Titans are going to do defensively, but I don't know that you looked at the old nose tackle, or not nose tackle, but D tackle that they liked. You know, it doesn't really fit that mold, you know, at 6'2", 280, but he's a very, very disruptive player. So he was interesting to watch. Latu, yo, there was one he was going against. I want to say it was Fuaga. I think it was Fuaga. I can't remember. But he came off the edge and he tried a spin move, and the lineman stopped the spin move, and then his counter was like a rip move counter. And he, man, this dude, like, when you're able to layer moves like that, you're a problem as a pass rusher. He was really impressive there. I really like what he did. And naturally, I mean, he's one of the best pass rushers in the league, so he better have been one of the best here in Mobile. And another one, Adisa Isaac, was impressive. Keep an eye on Austin Booker, 6'4", 240 out of Kansas. He was someone that is more or less a project, a developmental guy, but you might be able to find something out of him. And the same thing would go for Brennan Jackson. He was another guy that stood out. So, Brennan Jackson stood out as well. So, the safeties, nobody really, really made me like, oh, I got to watch him. Heaton Oladapo from Oregon, he was impressive from Oregon State. Very well built safety. You know, I thought this from physical standpoint, you know, he was impressive. As for the corners, like coming down here, I wanted to see Johnny Dixon. You know, I've mentioned him multiple times. He didn't practice on Wednesday. Tuesday, he had a tough day. I talked to him a little bit after practice, not on some interview type stuff, but just some, hey, man, let's talk. And he said he was a little nervous, had to get some rust off. He got called for holding, which is going to happen. He's very grabby. So you did have that. Like I said, he didn't practice on Wednesday. But Kalen King also, you know, he's another one I wanted to see. And I'll be honest, you know, there was some disappointment there in what I saw from the two Penn State corners, you know. But you look at some of the others, like a surprise. Willie Drew out of Virginia State, you know, we're talking about a CIAA, you know, team. I actually, my freshman year, we played against Virginia State. But this guy was very sticky in coverage. I posted a video. Some fan was like, oh, he's very stiff in the hips. Said, look, man, you don't know the context of the drill. It wasn't a full-speed drill. They're working more on technique and honing that technique in, and then they'll transfer that to the full speed. So I say it out to say, look, man, let's not be so quick to judge what is posted. You know what I mean? And maybe what I could do is a better job of explaining what is happening there. So I will commit to doing that. Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon, you know, this is a 6'3", 204-pound corner. He's long. He could cover the slants. He does a good job against those quick routes as well. Uses his length to get his hand in there to knock the ball out. Now, he didn't practice on Wednesday, but he had a good day on Tuesday. Another guy you talk about, long corners, Cam Hart out of Notre Dame. He's 6'2", 204. And, man, he's able to run with receivers. He has the height to go up and battle for the ball with them, too. So those were some guys that stood out there. And, obviously, you know, as I mentioned, Kenyon Mitchell, you know, from Toledo. Now, you look at the American roster. Didn't really see much from the quarterbacks, to be honest with you. Joe Milton, Bazooka Joe, as I call him, he's launched a lot of passes, overthrowing guys on go routes and stuff like that. But, I mean, you talk about looking the part, man. He looks the part 100%. So was impressed just from a physical standpoint point with him. Let's keep it rolling. You know, look at who else we could bring out there. The receivers. So this second group of receivers was stacked. There's a guy out of Georgia, Marcus Rosemary Jack Saint, and he had two drops in four seasons. You talk about consistent hands, catching it with his hands through contact. He did an awesome job. You know, during team period, he really stood out. His day on Tuesday, he probably made some money. You know, he stood out there. And you look at the size, it's prototypical, right? You know, 6'1". 205, that's right there in the threshold of where you want to be receiver-wise. So Jackson, I definitely like what I saw from him. I'm trying to think of some of the other guys. Johnny Wilson was interesting. You're looking at a 6'5", 237-pound guy. I think Johnny Wilson, you know, when I think about him, I think of Darren Waller. And he's a guy you just – use him as a weapon all over, and you could even line him up at tight end. The thing is, if he goes to tight end, he's going to have to embrace that physicality. So it's a big transition, right, going from receiver to tight end, especially if you're going to be playing in line. So I wouldn't be so quick to do it, but I think, you know, a role like Darren Waller, who isn't always in line, or even Jimmy Graham, who's never in line, would be a good option for Johnny Wilson, who actually had a little bit of wiggle, you know, on some of his routes, his releases today. So I was impressed with that. I'm kind of working around a few receivers because there is one that I do want to talk about. And you know what? Let's go ahead and do it. Xavier Leggett. Okay. So here's the deal, David. When you look at Leggett, right, Tuesday, you know, there was a post of a pass that he dropped. Hey, listen, they're going to drop passes. Like, nobody's perfect. But that led people to believe he had a bad week. And I promise you, Xavier Leggett did not have a bad week. And this is a guy who I've compared to A.J. Brown multiple times as far as the stylistic part of things. And he's big, 6'1", 223. I know he didn't weigh in or measure in at 6'3", like a lot of people thought. The 2 inches doesn't make a difference, folks. He goes up and gets the football. He catches it in traffic. He gives you yards after the catch. Xavier Leggett is a legit prospect. And he's one of the ones where it's like, if you go Joe Olofoshanu in the first round, in the second round, he's one of those guys to look at. So thought that was impressive. Jaheim Bell, the Florida State tight end, you know, they used him a lot, flexed as well as in line, even some out of the backfield. So that's something to keep your eye on, how they use the Florida State a tight end, and also Jarrett Wiley. Jarrett Wiley at 6'6", 253. You know, he made a dive in one-handed catch, and he made some other ones during practice. So it was pretty cool, you know, getting to see him do his thing. I was impressed with those two tight ends. Ben Sinner is from Kansas State, and he didn't really stand out, you know. He's going to be in contested catch situations frequently. That's what happened at college. And that's something to, you know, keep your eye on. He's not, as far as size-wise, you know, you're looking at 6'4", 254. So you could definitely play him in line, but I don't necessarily know that he's that guy. But one person that I will say is that guy is Tyler Guyton. And, you know, 6'7", 328 pounds. You look at him, you're like, Lord have mercy. Because he walked by me, and I was just like, woo. Big fella. And then to be as athletic as he is was really impressive. And you talk about big athletic guys. And, oh, by the way, he got a rep at left tackle during one-on-ones. You know, I thought that was intriguing. He went against who was that? The edge defender. He went against – it was Cedric Johnson. He went against, and Johnson beat him. But when he was on the right side, he was pretty much dominating. Patrick Paul is another one. Yeah, Houston tackle. He's 6'7", 333. And he can play left or right. He was working a lot at left. So when you look at him, man, you talk about a big man that can move, whose feet recovers very well. Yeah, he's someone that I think will be on the radar for the Titans at the top end of that second round. You know, the second, they don't have a third round pick. So you're going to have to, you know, get one of those guys if you do the right thing. You know, if a top level prospect is there at that position. Trying to think of some of the others there. Those were the main tight end, or excuse me, offensive lineman that stood out. Christian Haynes is an interior guy that's intriguing. I will admit that. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. No, I think that's pretty much it on the offensive line, on the offensive side of the ball, period. Now you flip it over to the defense, and my Lord, have mercy. Tavondre Sweat. He didn't weigh in, so I don't know what his weight is, but he's 6'4", and he legit walks by you, and you're just like, yeah, that's not a regular person. And then you look at the way he moves. He used a bull rush, David, that was ridiculous, and he ran right through a couple of O-linemen. He was going against Layden Robinson. Poor Layden got stuck going against Sweat multiple times, and it didn't end too well on 2 out of 3 reps. So you got to mention him. Trying to think who else stood out from an edge perspective. There weren't really any guys that like stood out that much to me. Braden Fisk is a high motor interior guy. I do like what he brings to the table, just as far as, you know, coming in and making that contribution quickly and I don't know about the length of the career, but you know, if he stays injury free, it could definitely shoot up for him. Now, let's talk about some of these DBs. And unfortunately, Malik Mustafa, I didn't get to see much from him. Yeah, I don't think he came. I'm trying to think of some of the other guys that stood out. Cornerback wise, that's pretty much it. You know, as far as the rosters are concerned. And again, this team is coached by Terrell Williams, so that's a pretty cool thing to see him out there. And yeah, Justin Hamilton as well, the assistant DB coach, and the energy was there, man. It's exciting watching these guys. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. I want to tell you a little bit about Soho Footwear over there in Hendersonville. You need your sneaks, your J's, whatever you should need, man, definitely make sure you go check them out. You mentioned TD10 and you get $10 off of $100. And they have a wide selection. So if you're a guy who or girl who already has a nice catalog of J's and Air Force Ones, et cetera, they'll still have something for you. Just go check them out. And if you're brand new to it, hey, just let them know. They'll guide you in the right direction. So definitely make sure you check out Soho, S-O-H-O, 615.com. And again, they're in Hendersonville. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
As the music fades and the lights dim, where are we going to go? And now, coming to you live from the Philadelphia Spectrum. Starting a small forward for your Philadelphia 76ers from Temple University, number 23, Tim Perry.
And now, starring as the featherweight of the world, Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
Hey, we got the same ball head.
y'all look alike, man.
Yeah, whatever. Hey, man, what can you say, man? Down here at the Senior Bowl, man, what? This is a great opportunity to see all these prospects.
Yeah, man.
It's been a dope event so far. I guess we'll start with that. Just sure. You know, for you going back to the days when you were a prospect. And getting to be in front of personnel, people, and evaluators for the first time. What was on your mind?
You know, what was on my mind is I had to prove myself. It's kind of like being on a Broadway play. You're on audition. And when I was at Ohio State, you know, I was really like an unknown. That's the crazy part about it because I didn't have the numbers. Everybody was talking about Joey Galloway, who was my roommate. There's a lot of great receivers in the draft. But then all of a sudden, John Cooper comes in, you know, late in the season, said I made it to the Super Bowl. So once I got that letter, TD, I said, this is an opportunity to prove to the scouts, to prove to the general manager, to prove to the owner that I can come in and play. So when I went out there, the first day I went out there, I went one-on-one. I can't remember the DB I was going against, but I made them look silly, and I proved them that I can run routes, I can catch the football, and I just wasn't a track guy trying to play football. So it was an audition. I went there with excitement, and I went there to prove myself that I can play in this league.
Yeah, no doubt. And while you were at Ohio State, you know, especially your last year, one of the guys that you – pushed to the bench and didn't allow to play was Terry Glenn, who's I love Terry Glenn, rest in peace. There's a guy here that reminds me of him, and his name is Roman Wilson. And I don't know if you got to watch the Michigan receiver, but if you have, what are your thoughts on him?
You know, I just love the way he runs routes. And we always talk about, you know, a wide receiver creating space. When you're creating space, it gives you an opportunity to catch the football. So, you know, I know a lot of these guys that come in the Senior Bowl are not actually there yet. But when you're watching this kid, when he plays in the slot, he's got a little wiggle to him. He can get off the line of scrimmage. We talk about receivers lying with his eyes and stacking the defensive back. So when you have a guy that's kind of polished in that aspect, he is going to come in and maybe play right away, whatever team tries to get him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was kind of hidden in that run-heavy offense at Michigan,
but
he's starting to shine here. This is a great opportunity for him. Any other guys here at the Senior Bowl, like maybe Xavier Leggett, Javon Baker, any guys that you've seen, if you got to catch any of the film from here?
You know, I like Leggett. I mean, I love what he's doing. I love what he can do at the line of scrimmage. I know he's still a little bit raw. You know, but the thing about love about him is I think he can really take the top off the defense and make some plays down the field. Because if you look at, if you kind of look at the offense or look at where the NFL is going right now, everybody wants to make want to catch the deep ball. Everybody wants to make the explosive plays. So you better believe there's a lot of guys in here that can make some plays. So, you know, LeGarrette can be one of those guys. And the one thing we got to understand too is, you know, this is a situation to where you're at the senior role where you can showcase your talent. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of mistakes out there, but I think that if they go out there and be consistent, I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, you know, there was a knock on him. They do the measurements and everything, and you got people. I always stress, like, size is not a skill. Like, it's okay. The guy still, even though he checked in at 6'1 instead of 6'3, you still saw him dominate in the SEC. So I just want to get your opinion, right? 6'1", 223, does it really matter that the 2 inches, like, is that something that really would knock your evaluation of him?
It goes down to a guy that's consistent. Let me give you a guy that's tough as nails, and he's on the radio show all the time, is Derek Mason. D. Mason is not a big dude, but here's what I love about Derek Mason. Number one, he's tough, he's physical, and he understands how to run around. We always talk about receiver bursting off the cut. When I say we burst off the cut, that means explosion in and out of your cut. When I tell you, I've seen some great wide receivers with, like, you know, Jerry Rice, you know, Webster Slaughter, you know, all these guys. Derek Mason is the best at the explosion at the top of the route that I've ever seen. And I'm not just saying it. So you don't have to be 6'1", 6'2", 6'3 to make plays. It's about running routes. It's about catching the football. And it's about a level of toughness and making the catch when it's in tight corners.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You mentioned Jerry Rice. His son, Breden Rice, is actually here.
Oh, he's a dude, man.
He's a receiver. Yeah, he's here, and he's running routes. But I just want to stick to that also because – so you look yesterday, and this is one of the things that – irks me about, you know, one of these type of events. You'll have its event and a bunch of people watch things and you get all these different opinions, but then you'll get one that is just completely wrong and people wrong. So you look at, you go back to LeGarrette, right? And he dropped one pass yesterday.
Yeah.
He didn't catch a lot of passes, but he was winning in his routes.
Yeah.
Kind of explain to the listeners what that means, you know, like how you could win as a receiver, even though you don't, the ball isn't thrown to you or it's overthrown or something like that. It doesn't result in a completion.
I mean, I think that's a great observation, TD, because, listen, if I'm a scout and I'm watching receivers, if he drops one ball, I'm going to watch his body language. I'm going to watch his body language and see, okay, can he come back and overcome that mistake? That's number one. Number two, I want to watch, does he have a plan at the line of scrimmage? What does he do? Can he get the DB off the spot? Can he lie with his eyes? Can he burst off the cut? Can he come and see me? When I say come and see me, coming back to the football, can he beat me to the sidelines? When I say beat me to the sidelines, you know, when you get out your cut, you're running to the sidelines to catch the football. That's how you evaluate a person. Don't evaluate them from just one drop ball or one missed route. I want to see the consistency. So when you have a guy like that that maybe dropped the ball but comes back and he's consistently creating separation, that's what I'm going to evaluate. I agree with you, TD. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm not trying to get mad at anything, but it pisses me off when you automatically label people. Let me give you a perfect example. You know, when I first got into Ohio State, everybody was labeling me as a track guy trying to play football. I'm like, what? Well, hold on. Don't just say because I had early success in track and broke Jesse Owens' long jump record and ran 10-1 and jumped 26-9, and my football hasn't panned out at that moment. Don't label me as a doggone track guy trying to play football. So now I get to the Senior Bowl. All eyes on me. General manager's there. Head coach is there. All of them are there. They watch my run routes. I'm killing people. They watch how I have a plan to line of scrimmage. They watch how I lie with my eyes. They watch how I beat the defensive back by coming back to the football and finding different windows. And that's how I started to separate myself.
Yeah, and that's really the key, that separating yourself. So we talked about that. Let's spin it back to the Titans and just look at this search offensive coordinator and how that's going. What do you think they need to look for in the OC?
I mean, they got to have the same philosophy as, you know, Callahan. I mean, what is his philosophy? You know, the teams that pass the ball are the teams that's going to win, and that's one of his philosophies. His second philosophy is you have to be a good teacher. So I think that when you find an offensive coordinator or whoever he's looking for, he's got to fit the mold of what he's looking for. You don't want to get no guy that's not a teacher, you know, that's not, you know, a player's coach, all that stuff. You got to get somebody that fits your mold, that fits your philosophy, and build on that. So it's got to be a good fit, because the thing about it is if you have a head coach's philosophy, he has his philosophy, then you bring an OC that has a different philosophy, it's going to be like water water and vinegar. It's not going to mix. So you got to find somebody that has the same philosophy, the same goals, the same attitude, the same identity that you're building. That's how I'll be looking for an offensive coordinator.
How disappointed are you that Rob Moore is not coming back? As you saw, you know, he's going to be the receiver coach there at with the Panthers.
Let me tell you something. They lost a great dude. And let me brag on him as a man first. I love what he does. I love how he, you know, what he did with A.J. Brown. You know, when A.J. Brown went to the Super Bowl, A.J. Brown sent him some shoes or something like that because he cares about him as an individual. And they're going to lose a good guy. I mean, I know every you know, the NFL is not for long. You got to go to different places. But the one thing I love about Rob Moore is the way he teaches his guys. He pays attention to details. He's watching them running routes. He's helping them get off the line of scrimmage. And he is one of the best teachers I've ever seen. I went to, you know, a couple of practice, and I was just mesmerized on how he teaches, the way he talks, the calmness. You know, he only threw his hat down once, and that was it. Who was it? I think it was I can't remember the receiver that got let go, but he threw his hat down and threw his little
Racy McMath.
Racy McMath. He said, "Dang gummit," whatever he said. But he's just a great teacher, an overall great guy, but also an awesome, awesome teacher, TD.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Rob. Moore is going to do wonders for the Panthers there when he goes. Last thing, when you look at just how this is set up, Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, Anthony Robinson, and everything, how much do you think this is on Rand? Well, let me ask you this. I'll put it to you this way.
Sure.
Okay, there's a lot that's made about Rand Carthon not being here at Mobile, but he is, in fact, there in in Nashville there doing the coaching search.
Yeah.
What do you think that's really a big problem?
I don't think it's a big problem at all because the people that are down in Mobile
is the guy
that he trusts.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
So
the thing about it is when you have guys that you trust that have the same mindset, then you can do something else because you know everybody's on the same page. I don't think it's a big deal because the thing about it is there's no decisions going to be made. They're going to give him all the information. He's going to see the tape, and then they're going to come. He's going to make the decision on who they should pick. So I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think we don't need to get out of sorts. We just got to make sure that they do what they need.
I'm probably going to head back to the hotel.
Yeah, no, I got you. I'm with that, too. I agree. It's not that big of a decision, a situation of him not being, you know, there. So,
yeah.
Well, I'll give you the floor. Obviously, I'm running around here leaving from the Senior Bowl, so I don't have any jokes for you. I'll let you go ahead and close
man,
it up.
But, man, I was watching boxing, right? And, you know, me and my wife was like, yeah, we want to watch some boxing. So this guy was boxing, and all of a sudden he got knocked down, and he had a jerry curl. I'm like, she's like, baby. I didn't know TD had a curl and he was a boxer. I said, no, baby, that's Tommy Hearns.
First you called me Marvin Hagler, then you called me Tommy Hearns. Well, what's next? Sugar Ray Leonard?
No, you do look like Tommy Hearns. Man, we got knocked at his curl and we shaking.
Well, that's all right. You look like Michael Spinks.
He got one tooth he can buy for apples, man. Come on, man.
All right,
go have fun at the Senior Bowl.
This is Arden Key, and I'm talking with TD.
Man, I love that Wu-Tang song, man. It's yours. My favorite verse, you know, you got his verse. Super Freaks with Zeke, like Raphael Sadiq. Baby love the guy to leave every day of the week. Yo, that lyric, man, he got bars. Man, I love that. But, hey, we're back from the break talking with TD. We got our bills paid, and we're going to keep this thing rolling. Going to bring in some interviews we have from the Senior Bowl. Got to catch up with some guys after practice on Wednesday, so we'll bring you those. And, man, make sure you continue to tune in to all of the coverage. You know, we have a lot going on from the Senior Bowl, different hits, you know, on 102.5 The Game. And it's all brought to you by ESPN Bet. So definitely make sure you check that app out. It gives you opportunities to make all types of plays and parlays and everything like that. So I really, really suggest that. I'm not really able to do that as far as a football perspective, so I won't be doing it. But, hey, man, it's all for you. And definitely, as we mentioned, you know, the sneaker side of things or just the gear overall, Soho Footwear or Soho Gallery, period. They're out there in Hendersonville. I want to just circle back to something that we kind of touched on with Brian Callahan and him getting the job and the past experience he has, you know, being in a situation where you had to pick either Jamar Chase or Penei Sewell, you know, the playmaking wide receiver or the outstanding offensive lineman. the Bengals took the receiver, and we know what he's done, you know, to help them get on course and do what they needed to do. So I don't think it was a bad pick in the least. So you have that. And the Lions, you know, they got Penei Sewell, and they just played in the NFC Championship game. So, and they were up, you know, by significant points at a time. It worked out. Now, a couple scenarios that you could see happening, right? You got Joe Alt or Olu Fashanu. You know, these are guys that could be there. As I noted, Tyler Guyton plays some left tackle. There are some who, like, put him in that Fashanu and Alt category, that level. I don't necessarily do that, but you heard Jim Nagy. He said there's more upside with him. Quite an athlete. But let's just say the Titans go tackle at seven. It would have to fall a certain way, right? You need Odunze and you need Neighbors to go. And you're also going to need, obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. That's three receivers in the top six. Not really likely, but, you know, we'll see what happens. If it does, and you got Joe Alt, you got Olu Fashanu, I would take Alt over Fashanu. I like the floor. Jordan Reed, talking to him on Wednesday, he said that Alt reminds him of Jake Matthews, you know, a guy that you could just put in there and you know he's going to play. You don't have to worry about it. And that's how I look at it. You give Alt a number 76 and you just say, hey, man, I need you to anchor my left tackle position, my offensive line. I need you to anchor that for the next 10 years. And he's just going to look at you and say, no problem. That's how that will work. So if you go that route, you turn around in the second and you'll obviously be in the top of the second. You know, you got Xavier Worthy sitting there, Xavier Leggett. I think Leggett could be a playmaker. I really do, you know, out of South Carolina. I know some are going to question the 1 year of production, but he was a special teams demon. And you also have offensive issues that just weren't there for him, weren't conducive to him being successful. And sometimes guys just blow up in their final year in college. And that's what you saw him do. But you look at the big size he has, you know, 6'1", 230, 223. He catch the ball through contact. He did that multiple times. So he could be a guy. You got Xavier Worthy if you want that burner. You know, he's another one. Or if you want to go a different position and go for a guy like Javon Baker who runs routes really, really well, you know, you could do that. And I tell you one other thing. There's a guy, while we're just talking about receivers, Louisville has a receiver that I thought was really, really just efficient with what he does. And that guy is Jamari Thrash. And he's not the biggest, but he's just efficient and runs really, really good routes as well. So those are a couple guys you want to go later. But, I mean, the purpose of this exercise is, okay, Joe Alt and one of the X's, whether it's Xavier McDaniel, whether it's Xavier Worthy or, Xavier Leggett. That's not a bad tandem, right? But then what happens if, you know, Malik Neighbors is there? What happens if Rome Odunze is there at seven and you pick them? Now you're like, okay, you got to address the offensive line. And I think if you look at the offensive line, there's a guy by the name of Patrick Paul. We're going to have him on Talking with TD here. You definitely want to tune in for that. But this guy, he's 6'7", 333 pounds. And I saw him go out in space and move, and DB came up and, you know, wanted to try to get involved and stop in the run. And, man, DB is a brave soul because Paul broke down and then pumped him to the ground. So you do have that. And I think you look at the left tackle position, he has some good reps. And I have some video on Twitter. He has some good reps there in one-on-one. So he's a guy in the top of the second round. You could go that route. Jordan Morgan, you know, is another one. I know a lot of people like him. I think Patrick Paul is better, more aggressive. You know what I mean? So I think that's somebody you could pair with a Malik Neighbors or Rome Odunze. So just wanted to look at some of those situations. Let's go ahead and bring you one of the interviews from the Senior Bowl. And this one was with Jarvis Brownlee Jr. Check this out.
First things first, you had a really good practice today. How much was it a matter of, like, getting better, settled in? You know, you had your day one, and now it's day two.
Day one, I ain't going to lie. I was kind of nervous, you know, not knowing what to expect. It's just being out here in front of a lot of scouts, a lot of GMs, a lot of owners. So, you know, I just had to settle in. You know, I feel like once I got settled in, you know, it was time to go, you know, and put on. So,
what do you think you showed the personnel, everybody here today?
What I've been trying to tell people, you know, I'm a tough, aggressive player. You know, I'm one of the top dogs out here, probably the best. No, I'm going to stand on that. And,
like that.
You know, I'm a team player. You know, wherever they need me, that's where I'm at.
Now, a lot of people may not have seen your game before. What would you say are some of the traits? Like, I don't want to talk for you. I want you to talk for yourself.
I'm aggressive. You know, I play with that edge. You know, I feel like I'm a dog. An ape at that. Forget a dog. But, you know, I just play like, you know, I always felt doubted. So, that just made me go 10 times harder, you know. Always run to the ball, get to the ball. And I'm just being me, man. Just being me, you know. I've been like this. Just trying to show everybody what I'm capable of.
As a Louisville corner, I'm sure you've watched Jair Alexander. Is he one of the guys that you kind of pattern your game after?
He's one of the guys, you know. I'm a small corner. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they try to tell me about my size. But as you see, that don't mean nothing. In the league, in the big league or college. So, he's one of those guys that I look up to, you know. Quick, shiftiness, great change of direction. So, I feel like I got all those attributes.
That word feisty, too. It's like, I always say when I compliment a corner, I would say a corner that I would fight every day in practice. And no hard feelings, but me and you, we'll rumble all the time. So, where is that feistiness? Where does that come from?
I don't know. I think just being from Miami, you know, a lot of adversity I had to face. Again, here, you know, I faced a lot of adversity in my childhood. And just knowing that, you know, God gave me a second chance at life. So take advantage of that. You know, I'm blessed to be here. It's amazing. And I just had it since I was little. Like I said, man, I always felt like I was doubted more than others. Mm-hmm. So that just always made me go 10 times harder at everything I do.
Last thing, in the earlier practice for the national team, Keon Mitchell, the Toledo corner, he got the chance to call out a receiver. He called out Roman Wilson.
Okay.
If Coach T gave you the chance to call him out, or any receiver, who would you call out?
Whoever. Who's been in the best out there. But anybody could get it, though. That's how I go about my day. You know, I go about my day trying to give up zero catches. I gave up one a day. But anybody could get it. But I probably would call out Ladd, though. You know, that's somebody I work out with at XO's.
Okay.
And I like his game. I love his game. That's one of my guys, you know. We've been close since we've been working out. So I tried to give him the day, but somebody already had went. But that probably would be the guy I want to go against, though. You know, Shifney Cushing is going to test me. So I'll go with Ladd.
So that was Brownlee Jr. And like I said, man, he's a feisty little corner. He was up in the hip pocket, a multiple receiver. So definitely appreciate him taking some time. We're going to keep it moving. And this time we're going to go back to the offensive side of the ball. Jordan Morgan is a guy that a lot of people wanted to get some information on and, you know, just get some feedback on. And I said, well, he's someone we need to talk to. So got to chat with him. Here's Jordan Morgan.
So I wanted to ask you, obviously, you know, there's a thing about the short arms. Where are you more comfortable, tackle or guard?
I feel I'm more comfortable at tackle.
Yeah. Is there any particular reason why you're comfortable there?
No, I mean, I've just been playing it for so long.
Right.
I know it. It's just my bread and butter.
And when people say that, you know, the short arms thing and anything like that, like, how do you respond? What's your explanation for your ability to excel on the outside?
I mean, short arms don't really matter. I mean, you see Rashad Slater really excel over there at the Chargers. He has shorter arms than me, but I think, I mean, you just got to do it, man.
Yeah. Coming in here, you know, going against, it's a nice group of edge guys. How has that been for you going against, you know, guys like a Deesa Isaac, Latu, and those guys?
Yeah, it's been fun, man. I mean, I like the challenge. I really like the pressure. I mean, when all that pressure comes in, it's just everything gets more exciting, more fun.
As far as the feedback you're getting, a lot of teams, I'm sure, are talking to you. How has that been? What's that been like?
It's been really good. A lot of good feedback I've heard, so I'm excited.
Have you unearthed, like, any new areas for improvement?
Yeah, I mean, I can for sure, like, I mean, because I get a lot, I get excited a lot. I mean, when I'm going against a defender, I get real excited. So
okay.
I need to simmer down a little bit and be patient and slow the game down.
So kind of like control those emotions
a
little bit. But what is it that excites you so much?
Just going against good players, I guess. And just playing against really good players and just knowing that I have the ability to lock them up, really, pretty much.
And you mentioned Rashawn Slater right away when we talked, but are there any particular guys that, you know, you've watched and say, you know, there's a similarity to how we play?
Tristan Wirfs, for sure.
He's
a patient player.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I model my game after his patience. I mean, I like to be a patient player, too.
Yeah, I enjoy what he said about, you know, hey, look, man, I'm a left tackle. Like, that's what I do. I'm not going to say I'm comfortable playing guard because I play tackle. This is what I played all my life. That's what I want to play. So, and the short arms, you know, he did what a lot of them do. You know, they point to Rashawn Slater, which understandably is the right thing to do. So that was Jordan Morgan. One of the guys that he went, not the Heat, that he'll go against, you know, on the game day, you know, the Senior Bowl is Adisa Isaac. And got to talk to him. He told me a little bit about, you know, just learning and processing from rep to rep. And this is a pretty cool conversation. Check it out. Adisa Isaac.
Just him believing in me from the start. And, you know, just the opportunity he gave me to even play at the high level and the coaching that he gave me just helped me develop as a player, you know, being very honest with me and, you know, just helping me develop.
We see the competition between you and Afuaga. He even called you out. How's the experience been for you?
It's been wonderful. You know, I'm all for it. I love it. You know, coming from Penn State, I had great tackles with me there. And, you know, I love the competition. I love getting better. And I love when people expose my weaknesses because, you know, it's a lesson learned and I'm going to grow from it every time, you know. So it's I love it. I love it. You know, I love competing. I love getting better.
You had a rep in one-on-ones where, you know, you came off the edge, you dipped the shoulder, he rolled you down.
He rolled me down.
But then you got him in team twice with that same move.
Exactly.
Like, how are you able to take a rep and then learn from that and transfer to the next one?
Exactly like I said, you know, just keep competing. You know, it's not over till it's over. I feel like, you know, we're all learning, we're getting better. So just taking your losses and turning it to lessons. And I feel like that's what I did and just kept going back to the fight, you know, because it's not over.
That feedback that you're getting, I'm sure, is pretty good from talking to these personnel folks. What are they saying?
Just, you know, be yourself. You know, keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, just do what got you here. You know, it's really just confirmation on the player you are. And obviously I haven't reached my potential, but, you know, it's a start. And I just have to keep improving each day.
Have you been able to unearth, like, from talking to them or going against these guys, any new areas where you're like, yeah, you know what, I got to get better there?
Yeah, I'll say, you know, it's a new scheme. You know, I've always played in a 4-3 system, and now it's a 3-4 base system. So just getting comfortable in that outside linebacker position, a couple drops and you know, whatnot. But I feel like there's nothing new for me. I just, you know, it's just a repetition thing, get comfortable, and, you know, we'll excel from there.
Forget the drops. I ain't wasting your energy dropping you in cover. You got the juice on the,
juice on
the edge.
Yes, sir.
Well, what is it that gives you that?
I'll just say my want-to, my mindset, and I love doing it. You know, I love getting the quarterback. I love pass rushing. And, you know, I just want to keep getting better, you know, just keep growing off of my mistakes and learning from it.
And watching the All-22 and end zone, like, Penn State, like, your defense, I spend extra time, and like, I got to see this again from the end zone and All-22 with the corners. What's it been like, you know, with all the talent you guys got on defense?
It's been amazing. You know, that was probably one of the most amazing seasons for me in my career. Just the talent we had, the kind of relationships we had, that's what really was the secret sauce to it. You know, we was all tight-knit group, where it was brothers, and it was just an overall great experience, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. You know, we're all close, and that's what builds a great defense, that chemistry and that camaraderie. And, you know, we all had the same goal and held each other to a high standard. So that's what it came down to.
And that last thing, for those who haven't seen you play, I'm talking about you loud and social. I mentioned your name over and over.
Yes, sir.
What's a good, like, snapshot? Okay, this player is an example of what I bring to the table.
Like a comparison, you mean?
Yeah. I don't want to say comparison, just a similarity in style of play.
Similarity, I'll just say, you know, a lengthy, twitchy, and I'll say like a just a guy that's going to go after it each play, you know, a nonstop motor, a guy that's going to give it 100% each time, you know what I mean? So,
So that's the show right there for you. Wanted to give you some Senior Bowl insight. We'll do a review of it next week as well. I'll bring in whether it's Keith Sanchez or Dame, you know, he full-time Dame is what we call him. But Dame is good people from the Draft Network. We'll have some different things on here for you next week. So definitely make sure you stay tuned. Appreciate the guys for jumping on and appreciate David James over there making it happen. And we're just going to keep rolling, man. You get the draft content. You get the Titans content. This is what we do. I definitely shout out each of you for rocking with us and continuing to do so. Make sure if you haven't, check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.
Yo! It's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for? Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.